Hey folks, welcome back to another Filling Station podcast. We're going to continue on with the book of Ephesians, and we're hoping to get through the remaining part of chapter 1 today. So we'll give it our best shot. But just to start with, you know, reading through and beginning this first chapter was quite eye-opening in so many aspects, in so many respects, and that we seem to be, at least I can say from my standpoint, part of my life being in the church, that we always seem to be striving towards something and continually asking, almost from a place of begging. But when we read through this first chapter, everything was provided for us. So instead of living from a standpoint of begging and crying out and screaming, we need to live from a standpoint that we already have complete access and authority in heaven as it is on earth. So with that being said...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. We have really diminished the authority that we've been operating in for so many years because we've not fully understood it and appreciated it for what it is. I mean, we have direct access in Christ for the things in heaven. There's no low-hanging ceiling. There's no window that we've got to break. There's no crying out into the atmosphere like we're trying to break through into some portal. There's no begging and borrowing because everything has already been provided. When Paul actually talked about Jesus had made this provision and that God had predestined it from the foundations of time. And we've lost sight of that. And I think one of the things that the church struggles in is that unity eludes us. And if we had unity in the word, we'd have unity in the body. One of the missing factors in this world is that the church has not found a unified platform to stand because we're always fighting over doctrines. But the word is very clear. It's plain. Even though we may have read it 1,000 times, it continues to be revelatory. It continues to illuminate. And just going back to how I started this, this first chapter in the book of Ephesians is just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost so much in translation because we have depended on other people to tell us what it means instead of really searching it out for ourselves.
True. Can you just say again what you said? You said if we had unity in the word, we'd have unity in...
the church, in the body.
Okay. I wrote that down. That was good.
You did?
And I'm writing, and I was like, wait, in the what?
In the what? But it's so true, though.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's excellent. No, I think that's good. And just to give some foundation, if you didn't hear our part one of Ephesians, please go back and listen to that because the jumping off point from that is how most churches, most preachers, when they're talking about Ephesians, they typically, or more than other parts of Ephesians, will talk about Ephesians 6, which is about putting on the armor of God. And we had started last week by saying that part of Ephesians 6 says, finally... and then explains about putting on the armor of God, but finally indicates after you have understood 1 through 5, then you can go on through 6, and yet nobody takes the time to go through 1 through 5. So we started going through 1 through 5 last week, and we got stuck on chapter 1, verse 3. So, so now we're going forward, and you had brought up the fact that this excellent point, if we had unity in the word, we'd have unity in the body. And Paul's whole purpose, motive in this book, wouldn't you say, is to bring that unity in theology, in our understandings of who we are, why we're here. And he begins to just walk it out step by step. And foundationally, chapter one, to your point, he's saying, you've got to know your position. You've got to know who you are, where you sit, and what that authority is that you have in those in that position.
Yep.
And so chapter three, we talked about how if we could just get this, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But then as we go on, and if you don't know what that is, go back and listen to part one and you'll catch up with that. But then Paul moved us forward to what he's saying about who we are in Christ. And the next few verses talk about, well, this is kind of controversial, right, across denominational lines, this whole predestination thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if anything has been a divisive point in the body, it's predestination. You've got people who believe, you know, once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. You've got people who believe, you know, some were predestined, some aren't.
Yeah.
You have people that go so far, Calvinists would be more of the folks that say, pretty much, it's all God anyways, so why bother? And, you know, they don't even pray for healing or anything like that, because if God wants you to be healed, he'll heal you. If he doesn't, you're going to die. And so they have taken that predestination so far. But yet Paul, when he breaks this down, that's not at all what this is about.
Exactly.
It's not even close. And to just have unity on this issue, can you imagine the change in the body of Christ, just to have unity in the predestination? But what this is saying in 4 and 5 and 6, is that what we should do is, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. So this can be a little confusing. So let's try to break this down. Just as he, God, chose us people in Jesus, in him, before the foundations of the world. So this is saying that before anything was created, God saw Jesus, his son, and said, you're the guy.
You're the man.
I'm going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who I love. You're the one who I'm anointed. You're the one who will get everything that I am, which is a familial thing.
Exactly.
That's inheritance, right? Yeah. So he looks at his sons and says, you get my inheritance. You get everything I have. So just as God chose us in Jesus, so he has now extended this and said, I love you, and anyone who is with you, anyone who is in Christ, anyone who chooses Christ, anyone who follows Christ and identifies as a Christ follower, believer, I am going to see them in you, and they get everything you get.
There you go.
Exactly.
And so it says, just as God chose us, Paul, Sharon, Kim, in Jesus before the foundations of the world. So it's always been his plan to do it this way.
Yeah.
To be holy and blameless before him in love. So as we're in Christ, he sees us. God sees us as holy and blameless in Christ. He predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Mm-hmm. So before any of this existed, God said, there's going to be people. I love you, Jesus. You're the guy I'm choosing. And all those people that choose you too, we're adopting them in.
Right.
Yeah.
We're bringing them into the family. You know, those people that, you know, when there's holidays and they're like, who's the holiday orphans? We're bringing them into our house for the holidays. God saw what this world was going to look like. And he said, anyone who says, I'm following Jesus, they are now in Christ. And it's my pleasure, God says, it is the good pleasure of his will to bestow upon them the same thing that Jesus has. So if Jesus is blessed, I am blessed. If Jesus is loved, I am loved. Yeah. If Jesus is seated in heavenly places, I am seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
And then 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved in Jesus. All comes back to being in Jesus. And then 7, in him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. So this is how we get into being adopted according to the riches of his grace. His forgiveness of sins is boundless. It is a richness of grace that we find in Jesus, which he lavishes on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. So it's not even something that the natural eye can understand. It's a mystery at how it happens.
Yeah.
You have to be in Christ to get it, to get the revelation.
Yeah.
Even then, you're like, how can this be?
Yeah.
How can this possibly be? But we're going to get into a prayer about that later. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He's already decided this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to make him happy. He's going to bless us in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth. So once we're in Christ, there's no longer that boundary of I got to deal with stuff on earth and I got to pray things down from heaven.
Exactly.
That boundary is now gone and we are one cylinder. We are one merger. So as we've said before, we become a satellite location of heaven. So it's all now put together in the fullness of time. It's boundless.
Yeah.
As we are in Christ, everything that Jesus is blessed with, everything that is Jesus has done, and everything that he is, so are we.
Yeah.
And that's God's will. Everyone's saying, I don't know God's will. God's will is that you understand that in Jesus, you have everything. You have everything. It's boundless in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we remain. That's hard to understand.
Right, because so many people are living in a lack mindset.
Right.
Living with lack when they don't realize that you already have everything provided for you.
Right.
And it even says here in verse 8 in the Passion Translation, this superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. So it's already there.
It's already there.
It's already there working through us. You have to realize the power that you already have. And it gives you wisdom and practical understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you be a problem solver for the people that you work with? Can you come up with practical ideas for your city that might have a problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are already there. We just have to tap them. It's like having... You're screaming about you don't have any water on your property when you've just spent thousands of dollars digging a well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's untapped. Turn the spigot on and start using it. It's already there. All that power is under the earth ready to push that water up. And it's the same thing with having the Spirit is already within you. Super abundant grace is already there. It's released. We just have to use it. So many people don't realize what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wasting their gifts, which is very sad. We see a lot of people, oh no, they have this false humility and all that kind of thinking. And God doesn't want us living like that. We're already loaded up.
Yeah, but you know, I can hear people saying, well, how? How do I do that? How do I do it? How do I bring that practically into my daily life? And that's the challenge of the word.
Yeah.
Is making it a practical day-to-day experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, I see here that I'm blessed. Well, I can't pay my bills. So now how do we make that work?
Yeah.
I mean, I can, but what I'm saying is,
you
know, people who say, I can't pay my bills, but you're telling me I'm blessed and I'm seated with Jesus, why can't I pay my bills?
Yeah.
How do I pull that out of heaven? Do I look for gold nuggets on the back
exactly,
porch?
Right, right, right.
What do I do? That's where the practical comes in.
I think we've come from the standpoint of we have slapped God in the face because we've not understood and appropriated the word correctly. And living in a place of lack has become our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've not taken ownership for what the word actually declares. If there's lack in our lives, then it's not something we should be begging for. It should be, we're coming from the standpoint of God, you've given me access to heaven in you, in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's no lack in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to come from the standpoint of saying, God, you've already made provision for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand in a point of being a person in lack. I don't live in poverty. I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth.
Right.
I'm responsible for my own declarations.
That's a big deal.
I'm responsible for understanding your word that God's not a magician. God's not somebody we pull a rabbit out of a hat. There's so many people go up to the altars every single week where they're praying for something that they've already got access to and they've already been given, but they're not knowing how to access it because they've not been taught correctly.
Right.
But back to what you were saying, how do we practically apply that on a day-to-day basis?
Right.
And it is the knowledge of the word.
It totally is.
And it is the responsibility of us taking the time and initiative to understand that.
Correct. So, you know, we say this all the time, but people perish for a lack of knowledge, and so wherever you have lack, you're missing knowledge. So if you're in a situation where you have lack in your finances, well, there's probably many answers to that, right? Mm-hmm. There's probably many reasons for that. There are always, you know, unfortunate reasons. Maybe there was a sickness that caused a bankruptcy or mm-hmm. something like that. Those things happen. But the other thing is, we have to come to a place where we're digging the solution out of the word. So, for example, I remember when I had some lack. I hadn't worked for a while. And so I've probably told the story before. And so I was having issues with paying my mortgage. So I had to find in the word scriptures about land. So there's a lot of scriptures in the word about land. And there was one I used to say out loud every night before I had my, right after I had my dinner. And it was, I wish I could remember it exactly, but basically it said, after eating a good meal, give thanks to the Lord for the land he's given you.
Mm.
So after every meal, I would say, Father, this was a great meal. Thank you for the land you've given me.
Yeah.
And there was other scriptures like that. So I found these scriptures and I would read them until I believed them. So that even when I had a phone call that was unfortunate, I would put the phone down and say, nope, I believe blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so I would begin to have the word speak to the problem rather than things coming out of my mouth like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And get on the phone with somebody and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. In fact, I didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
It was me and the Lord. Yeah. We worked it out through the word.
Yeah.
Now, I also was diligent with my money.
Sure.
You know, I wasn't out vacationing and things like that. There had to be a multiple strand plan that is rooted in wisdom that walks you out of those situations into a steady stream of prosperity.
Yeah.
And so when you say, well, how do I walk it out? Well, first you got to find it in the word. You've got to find what you're looking for in the word. If it's not in the word, then you can't believe for it, right? So you got to find it in the word, and then you begin to let the word show you how to walk it out. The word gives you wisdom in how to do it. Like if you're having money issues, there's so many scriptures about money. Money, Jesus talked about money than more than any other subject.
That's true, he did, yeah.
More than any other subject. So you can find scriptures about money.
Yeah.
So if that's you find what the word says and you begin to say, Holy Spirit, show me how to walk this out. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's soul issues.
Yeah.
Yes. You can begin to use overbuying as a substitute for another lack in your life. So you got to get a hold of that soulish mm-hmm. issue in your life, right? Yeah. So there's usually multi reasons why we're in those situations.
Yes.
So to just think you can go to the altar and pray it away is naive, ministerial malpractice to even represent that that's a possibility. Because if you're just going up asking for that, and somebody's praying as though it's actually going to happen that way, and you're not going to have to do any work yourself, you're really believing a lie,
yeah.
which will eventually take you away from the faith, because you'll think, well, it doesn't work for me. And the reality is you were never told the whole truth. That's why yeah. it didn't work for you. And I think a lot of people leave the faith for that reason. They think they can go to the altar and get prayer for things, and magically things will fall from the sky and everything will be better. And that doesn't happen. No. There's usually something I have to work on.
Yeah.
In my soul, and maybe in the natural realm, with the word, in order to see the manifestation of what I'm really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm not blessed, though, every day. Blessed with health. I'm blessed with a car. I'm blessed with a beautiful home. I'm blessed with the ability to talk. I'm blessed with the ability to think. I have hair. I mean, there's things.
Some of us do.
There's things that we don't interpret as blessings that yeah. we have. But the practical thing is, you've got to find it in the word. And people just don't. They would rather go up to the mm-hmm. altar and say, help me pray this away. And they'll go up for years for the same thing.
Yes, they
will. Yeah. Years and years and years, and nothing changes.
Yeah.
At some point, when do you look and say, there might be another plan here? There may be something I'm missing.
I think yeah. a lot of people are waiting for mailbox miracles.
Mailbox miracles.
Mailbox miracles. Mm-hmm. That check's going to come in the mail. I'm going to go down and play the lottery.
Right.
Yeah. It takes all the responsibility off.
Well, and I think we said yeah. that last week. When we can blame God,
right.
we don't have to change.
Exactly.
And the reality mm-hmm. is, we do. We do have to change.
Well, that's just it. It becomes a two-way street. Christ has provided everything.
Done deal.
Done deal. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. Actually, in verse 13, it says, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Yeah.
For those that believed in Christ.
Yeah.
The gospel of salvation. So it's sealed.
It's done.
We're covered, coated. It's the wax on the signet ring yep. that God put on that certificate of approval.
Yep.
Done, sealed. Nobody can take it away. But the responsibility lies now upon us.
Right.
Accessing the word.
Yep.
Understanding the word.
Yep.
Rightly applying it.
Yep.
And then doing our due diligence on how we steward finances.
Mm-hmm.
How we live life.
Mm-hmm.
How we speak about things, speak about yep. people, speak about ourselves, speak about families.
Circumstances. Yep.
And, you know, we're all aware of things that can blindside us.
Yep.
But the word talks about is not worrying.
Yeah.
We take on worry and we take on that unnecessary responsibility that we see it as, okay, I'm worrying about this. This is not working. We're not to worry because it's already been taken care of. Our responsibility to access that. You know, this is not a one-shot miracle here. It takes time because, like you said, you have to believe it.
Yeah, and when you say don't worry, that's an easy thing to say. But again, going back to the practicals of that, well, how do I do that?
Yeah.
How do I not worry when my phone is ringing and they're saying, you know, we're going to take your house?
Yep.
How do I not worry?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the answer is in the word.
Yes.
And it says we labor to stay at rest. So we labor with the word.
Yeah.
So when the call comes in, I'm like, nope. You're not taking my house because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I am working the word out in my heart. I'm fighting the word and my natural thoughts.
Mm.
That's what's at war.
Yep.
My soul, my mind, and the word. Yep. We are fighting it out. So yeah. I labor with the word, and once I come on top of it, now I'm at rest.
Yeah.
But that's really all we're instructed to labor with.
Yeah.
And you know, that's heavy. Sometimes the heavier the load, like if you get a stage 4 cancer diagnosis and yeah. you got to jump into the word, you are going to be laboring. You are going to be fighting that out in your head.
Yeah.
Your soul and your spirit are now going, you know, fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And who's going to win that battle? You are fighting that out.
Yeah.
And once you figure that out, now you're at rest. So we labor until we find rest. We labor with the word. We fight it out. We renew our mind. We renew our mind. We think mm-hmm. again. And then we find that place of rest. So I can tell you that after going through that, I came to a place of complete peace. Every time the phone rang,
yep.
it didn't rattle me. It didn't bother me. I knew I was on the other side of it in my head.
Yes.
Yes. I had to get to the other side of it in my head before yes. I got to the other side of it in reality.
Yes.
Because I believed the word first.
Yeah.
I believed the report of the Lord, and I didn't believe. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't dealing with reality.
Yeah.
But reality never came out of my mouth.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I never talked about it. And I never spoke it. And then once I was at rest with it, I slept like a baby. I had no trouble. I knew there was going to be a turning. And there was. And yes. I was out. And I've been out for a long time. But the labor of it came between my spirit and my mm-hmm. soul.
Mm-hmm.
Just the unbelief and just having to stay in the word and renew my mind and believe what God's word said, that I was blessed, that I am adopted in, that I am his daughter. The scripture that I heard during that time, I heard a preaching. This guy had gone into a church service and he was having huge financial trouble. I guess we're on finances this trip. Somebody's listening to this that's having financial it's okay. problems.
Yeah.
He was having major financial issues. He was a minister, and he was having major financial issues, went to church. He was excited to hear what the pastor was going to say, and the pastor wasn't preaching that week. It was a guest minister, and he was like, oh, great. So he was already in a bad mood. He walks in, sees the guest minister, and he's just like, forget it. And then he said he wasn't at that time pro-women ministers, and it was a woman. So he was like, oh, fantastic. Like, everything was over for him at that point, right? So he...
Batting zero.
Did I already tell you this story?
No, I don't think you did.
So he goes and he sits down. The woman gets up and she says, the Lord gave me a word for somebody. And he's like, okay, sure. And she brings out that scripture that says, the father that doesn't provide for his child is an infidel.
Oh, wow.
Now, this guy can't provide for his family.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, fantastic. Not only am I not happy because of my financial situation, my pastor's not speaking, I've got to listen to a woman who just told me I'm an infidel. He's just like on the ceiling. Like, he wasn't happy, right? So then he goes, and then she says to him, now, I heard this when I was going through all my financial problems, so it gets me a little choked up. Then she says, let me finish.
Yeah, let me finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said, your heavenly father is not an infidel either, and he will provide for you his son.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is not an infidel.
Yeah.
That's right.
And his word is true.
Yeah.
And if he says he's going to help you and he's going to show you a way, he says there's a way of escape. You know, we get into trouble. He knows. He's already got the off ramp.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He is not an infidel. And he will take care of us.
Yeah.
When we seek him, when we look for the answer in the word. And that guy said he went back home that day. And he told his family, I'm not having lunch. He went in his prayer room and he just spent the afternoon just saying, he cried and the Lord gave him answers. And he realized Yeah. God, this is you.
Yeah.
You're going to help me through this. I'm not alone in this.
Exactly.
God is not an infidel. And I can't tell you how many times something would happen and I'd say, Lord, you are not an infidel and I am your daughter.
That's right.
And you are going to help me get through this.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's these things that you've got to saturate yourself with those things and wrestle with it.
Yeah.
Until you can mentally get past it and believe.
Yeah.
You've got to believe. And you know you believe when you can rest.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
That's huge.
When you can rest, you know you've crossed you've crossed over. I had somebody say to me once, how do you go from the word of the Lord to seeing it come to pass? And I said, well, there's this thing that nobody talks about that I call the resistance bridge. And the bridge starts from the word and it goes over to the manifestation. And that whole walk across that bridge is where you resist with the word, your thoughts, your unbelief, and everything else. And you stand on what the word says. But here's the thing. If you don't know what the word says, then you're screwed.
Right.
Really.
Exactly.
You've got to know it for yourself.
Yeah.
And, and that word comes alive to you. Mm-hmm. When you're looking for it and you're saying, Lord, show me what it is. And there's so many apps now. And there's so many, you can.
So many versions.
There's and you can search by topic.
Right.
There's no excuse to not be able to find a word for your situation. There's no excuse now. And so when you can find that and then you grab those words and they become life to you and you see them and you cry and you thank the Lord, that's it. And that carries you a few more steps. And then, I'm starting to fight in my mind again. And you're still in the word and you're plugging away and something else comes alive and you're like, that's it. And that takes you to the next. And as you're going across that resistance bridge of resisting doubt and unbelief, you will get to the other side.
Yeah.
But you have to find that in the word. That's the practical fight of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight isn't me punching you. The fight isn't me punching, you know, the people that were coming after me.
Yeah.
The fight was in
myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And my soul, which was at odds with my spirit.
Yeah.
And something wins. And I determined going through that, my spirit will always win. It will win every time. It must. And I'm the only one that can control that. I can't go to the altar and say, can you pray
you
that
can't.
My spirit wins?
No, you can't do that.
You've got to put the work in.
Yes.
To believe and to know. And
yes.
The only way to do that is when the word does come alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes alive and you're like, that's for me. And all of a sudden, it's personal.
Yeah.
And that's going back to what you said, where when the Holy Spirit comes, it's a sign that this is for you.
Yeah.
It's a sealed deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when the word comes alive to you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hello, bup, bup, bup. This is the one you need to take on the bridge with you. This is it. And you grab it and you walk it out and you walk it out until you find the manifestation.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that takes years.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a couple weeks. But you've got to wrestle with the word and find rest there. It's not going to be in a person. It's not going to be in a relationship. It's not going to be in a bed. It's not going to be in a check. It's going to be in the word.
Exactly.
And that's where you find your rest. And then you walk it out.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, a lot of people talk about that. You know, I have so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much stress in my life, and I'm working on this, and this situation stresses me out. But it really shouldn't be, I'm working on my stress. I'm working on my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing what you're saying. You're
right.
You're wrestling with the word, and you're working on that. And you're working on your peace because you really already have that. It's a matter of, am I going to give it up or not?
Well, your peace is already in your spirit.
Right. So am I going to give it up or not?
Right.
Because I shouldn't be focused on the stress and the anxiety. I should be focusing on the word and what I already do have.
Right. And in our spirit, it is all the fruits of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Love,
right.
Joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. Wisdom, all of it is already resident 100% in our spirit. So when we don't have it, we know we're living out of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're not living out of our spirit because that's not our function. And sometimes I think that we just say things because we hear other people say things like, I'm stressed out. Well, who told you that? Where did you hear you were stressed out? When did that become cool? Because I hear it all the time at work. I'm stressed. You know what? I'm not stressed. Mm-mm. Do I work hard? I do. Am I tired sometimes? I am.
Yeah.
But is my stress? I don't know. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm not in jail. I'm not being tortured. I'm not. What does stressed mean?
It's an anxiety mode and a stress mode for so many people. They just live there.
I don't even know if they know where there is.
Yeah, that's
I think it's just cool kids club.
Well, maybe
so. Being stressed.
Maybe so.
I think we say things because it's common.
Yeah.
I don't think we understand what we're talking about, but yet we're opening that up into our life to become real.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You say that enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to what you were saying earlier.
Which thing?
But you said it a couple of times, and the wrestling that you had, you said it was in your mind.
Mm.
Once you got clarity, once you broke through in that arena, and putting it in right balance, that spirit comes first. Spirit is the controlling factor, I guess.
Right.
That is where we are supposed to position ourselves from.
Right.
And, you know, for many years, myself, there's just that battling of going ahead to pray about something that I felt that I didn't have. And I couldn't rationalize it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of just went away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got to the point where I broke through in my brain, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to over-spiritualize everything.
Yeah.
But never take that initiative. And again, that same word that's been repeated, taking that responsibility to change our mind, change the way we think, change the way we operate, and come in accordance and alignment with the Spirit and the Spirit of Christ within us.
Right.
Because it's already been made full.
Right.
And putting that soul where it belongs, beneath the Spirit.
Right.
And I know we were talking earlier.
Can we just say we don't over-spiritualize things? Because we're not in our spirit if we do that. We over-religiousize things.
That's better for it. Because
we
have, we've put religion into a whole nother box.
Yeah.
And religion's become a man-made excuse.
Oh, it's terrible.
For why things don't work.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. No, that's a good way to put it. When Paul wrote these letters, or when Paul was in Ephesus, something that we heard earlier prior to coming on this podcast is that Ephesus was the most important city in Western Asia Minor.
Yeah.
Now considered Turkey. This was a critical time, a critical place, and a critical point where Paul was establishing this word in the believers in Christ in Ephesus, where we understand there were, about 100,000 believers?
100,000 believers in this church in Ephesus.
In this place, yeah. Mm-hmm. And whether they were in body collectively in one place,
right,
or a distribution of 100,000 people throughout this entire region.
Which was considered a hub.
Which was, this was definitely...
Commerce, everything came out of Ephesus.
Yeah, it was a major trade route.
Yeah.
It was a commercial center that everything was coming in and going out.
Yeah.
Now, from this standpoint, Paul was preparing the believers in that place to get their identity shaped in Christ.
Yep.
To be in right order.
Yeah.
So that they could embed themselves within that culture.
Right.
And bring such a transformation, not just from a church standpoint, but from a marketplace standpoint.
Right.
Because if this was a hub, this was a lot of commercial trade that was going on. This was a center for, the Roman goddess Diana?
Yep.
So when there is a breaking down and a tearing down of strongholds, then there needs to be an implementation of believers who know who they are,
right,
can stand on the word,
yep,
they know the fullness of what they have,
right,
then they can not only maintain or sustain
that position
and a move of God,
yep,
but they're able to affect that whole entire place with the gospel and with the kingdom.
Yeah, it's interesting because historians, which I'm not one, but historians have said that this was the location that Paul went to more than others.
Yes.
And it is the one where he stayed the longest of all of his trips, which I believe was three years. Yeah. He was in Ephesus.
Yeah.
So how interesting that he found that he needed to situate himself of teaching the word, teaching believers, setting the proper mindset in place in a hub of commerce and all of these things that happened in one of the largest areas during that time.
Yeah.
He knew that was a priority for them to get this down, figure this out so that you can be everything that you have been implanted to be. So that was an exciting revelation that we figured out.
It really was. I mean, that really capitalizes on the when we've been predestined. I mean, just the collective group of people in that area, it must have been phenomenal.
Well, he hammers, I mean, this whole first chapter, it goes into the second. He hammers, you have to be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Yeah. Everything you need is in Christ, in Christ. And he tries to explain what that looks like.
Yep.
That was a revelation that they had to get before they could put on the armor of God. They had to understand what that meant and what it was.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know how many sermons I've heard on this.
No, because we do it backwards. We start with the end and work.
I think it's said, but it's very generic. Hasn't been a deep dive.
Nope.
There's never really been a deep dive
into
this. Like, before we started studying in Ephesians, I really had never fully understood this predestined issue.
Yeah.
That is explained in 5, 6, and 7, that it's this whole predestination thing is about God had already chosen whoever was in Jesus to be chosen for his blessings.
Yeah.
Like, it's very simple.
Oh, it's so simple. It's so simple. And yet it's such a point of contention.
It is.
And Paul just kind of says, here it's what it is. Figure it out. Yeah. Just like,
he was a radical. Paul
was this was all controversial at that time.
Yeah.
This was totally controversial. These were people who were in the law.
Yeah.
So these were not people who were grace people who believed love God, love people. They were believing the 613 laws that they had to follow. And this dude comes in and says, scrap it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you're in Jesus, you're good to go. I mean, he was a radical.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, he would start by saying, none of y'all have called me. God did. So here we go. I mean, this guy was a radical.
Yeah.
He was very controversial. What were you going to say?
I was just thinking about the whole predestination thing. If you really think about it, it's quite, I don't know the right word, but if Christ came, God's plan was for Christ to die for the whole of humanity.
Yeah.
From the beginning to the end.
That was his pleasure, his will.
Mm-hmm.
To die for the whole of humanity. And then you get people stuck on stupid with predestination that God only predestined so many people.
Right.
Then why did we have the death on the cross for the whole of the human race? When really, in the end, there's only the select few that God really only predestined to make it.
It's a wide try.
To make it into heaven and into eternity and be saved. I've never understood that. How could that be a loving God that would do that?
Right.
I mean, you're defeating your own purpose and your own plan.
Right.
You're dying for the select.
People, I think, need to feel like they're special or something. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah.
But it ain't in their spirit. It's coming out of their soul.
Because it's not what it's about.
Right.
I know in this first chapter, something that stuck out to me as well, you know, we're continuing to just pick pieces out of this and pull it apart and apply it. Paul mentions God's will 3 times.
Yeah.
And it talks about the kind intention of his will.
Yeah.
The mystery of his will and the counsel of his will.
Mm-hmm.
That he has made that provision. It was his will to provide everything, his counsel, the mystery, and the kind intention that he intended to do this, mm-hmm. come what may. He made that provision.
Yep, he's not an infidel.
Not an infidel.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that is great and really, I think, pivotal in this chapter is the prayer.
Yes.
So there was two places where Paul, Paul says that these things that he's teaching were once a mystery,
mm-hmm.
which had to make the religious people really annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you all never figured it out. I've unlocked the key. Listen up.
Yeah.
He says, these things I'm sharing with you were once a mystery, which I think is code for controversial. But then he mm-hmm. understands that there's going to be a large gulp when he's sharing. So he prays a mm-hmm. prayer of revelation mm-hmm. that would come on them as they read his written word. And the prayer is awesome. And Sharon, you said earlier that this is something that you regularly pray for yourself. And Paul, you mentioned the same thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've done it, but I don't think I've made it a regular thing, which I probably will now. But it says, Paul's prayer starting at 15, therefore I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We are instructed in the word to pray for wisdom mm-hmm. and knowledge.
Yeah.
In fact, money comes from wisdom and knowledge, the word tells us. Yes. Prosperity mm-hmm. comes out of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm.
Another reason you want to cure lack, ask for wisdom, ask for knowledge, and then pursue it. So the Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened or opened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints.
Mm-hmm.
People think that's in heaven, but we're considered here. Saints here.
Exactly. Yes.
And what is the surpassing greatness of the power of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? That has to work in us. We got to understand
mm-hmm.
that. Which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand mm-hmm. in heavenly places. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Far above all principalities and powers mm-hmm. and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So you're above principalities and powers. You don't have to try to take them on from below.
Mm-hmm.
And he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all things in all ways.
Mm-hmm.
So this was Paul's prayer for the people, that Lord, let them see it. Open their eyes, open the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That is something that we've got to have to really understand who we are and how to tap into all that's available to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something you can understand through your soul.
No.
The soul doesn't understand spiritual things.
No, it doesn't.
So if you're going to stay in your, you know, secular brain of, you know, what that is. I was going to say I'm stressed and all that kind of stuff. If you're going to stay there and not come out of it, you will never understand the fullness of what you can have here on earth.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean God doesn't love you.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you're not going to have all the blessings that have been promised to you.
Exactly.
And I'm in it to win it. Every promise that's in the word, I want it. And that just doesn't mean I get it because I say it. I've got to understand it and understand how to tap into it. Because it's just not doled out like candy. You've got to actually figure it out. You've got to say, I need wisdom to understand, how do I apply this today?
Yep.
We talked about the practicals mm-hmm. of finances or healing even.
Yep.
How do I understand this today for me in my journey? Give me the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge what to do at my job. How do I solve this problem? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to apply wisdom to this, Father. Show me what it is. Show me in the Word. Show me in my dreams. Show me. And we begin to seek after those things. He's going to make sure we find it. This is not going to be complicated.
Wisdom is a big thing. I mean, just go ahead and read the first couple of books in Proverbs. That's all it talks about.
Correct.
And all you're getting, get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom.
Well, read
and
Solomon. Solomon's full of wisdom.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, that's Song of Solomon. We're talking Proverbs. About Proverbs. Listen, it's been a long day.
Yeah, it has.
Exactly. Yes. Mm. You know, we can have spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
We can have soulish eyes.
Yeah.
We can have physical eyes. And when you're going through something, if you're looking at them in the natural, you're never going to get to that place that you can be at in Christ. You're never going to be able to see yourself healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be able to see yourself prosperous. You're never going to be able to see yourself in a healthy relationship if you continue to look out of natural eyes and say, well, it's never happened before. Well, I prayed for somebody else. They didn't get healed. Well, my whole family's been broke. I guess I'm going to be broke. If you continue to walk through that through generational eyes, through natural eyes, mm-hmm. through experience, and not the Word. I mean, all these things. Listen, we could go hours on each verse.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's rich with how to live day to day a successful life. It really is rich. And we don't even know.
We don't. We don't know.
Well, we're on the road to educate others.
And ourselves.
Ourselves and others for these principles because they're there for us.
Yeah, I agree. They're rich. They're good. Ephesians 1, I mean, we've tried to nugget it out.
I mean, just the way the rest of the chapters are going to go.
Jeez, I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know. I don't know where we're going from here. All right, folks, God bless you and enjoy. We would all like to take the time to thank you for listening to this podcast today. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future podcasts. You can also reach us on our Facebook page, The Filling Station. You can connect with us there, you can message us, and we'll get back to you with any information that you need. Thanks again, guys. Take care.